We are reading Mark chapter 5. It's a continuation of reading stories that convey the message of Lent, which is there is a great cost to be paid, not only by Jesus and the sacrifice he made, but by his followers in understanding what it takes to follow him. Our opening image today is the other side. This is Rock Hill District 3 Stadium. I grew up going to this my entire childhood. And at the time, Rock Hill, which is just south of Charlotte, had two major high schools, Rock Hill High and Northwestern. When they would play each other, they shared this stadium. So when they would play each other, they would be completely on one side and completely on the other side. And each year you would rotate who was home and away. It would be completely packed. And many times they would play each other the last game of the regular season, and then they would end up playing each other in the playoffs. So one time you would be on the home side, and when you play in the playoffs, you'd be on the away side. I never crossed to the other side, whichever side I was on, elementary school, middle school, high school. And what's crazy, at the time when my middle sister was in high school was 3 years long. We moved across town while she was in high school. My older sister went to Rock Hill High. My middle sister went a year and a half to Rock Hill and a year and a half to Northwestern. And I went to Northwestern. Crazy. So while we never crossed, I never crossed over in my time, our family went to both. I bring that up because we're in the Sea of Galilee, many little fishing villages surrounding it, some of them of the Jewish faith, some of them not. And most people would not travel a ton to the other villages. All Jesus ever does is travel to the other villages, to the other side, and we're going to read about that today. They came to the other side of the sea, that being Jesus and the disciples in the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived there among the tombs, and no one could restrain him even anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains. But the chains wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke into pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with the stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I've spent half that text talking about the torment that that man was in. But a previously tormented man begs Jesus not to torment him. Is it because he can't take another person that wants to hold him down, another person that wants to yell at him, another person that wants to make fun of him? He recognizes who Jesus is right from the jump. If we're reading the word immediately in a gospel, it's almost assuredly going to be in Mark. Immediately after Jesus steps on the shore, this man recognizes him for who he is. And the minute Jesus gets somewhere, someone is in dire straits and needs him to address it. Now, the things that are present for this man on this village who's been restrained for so long and is now loose and running around are pain, isolation, and death. He has been in the cemetery, just wandering around, yelling and howling among all those that the community has lost and isolated from those in the community who are alive. Death is everywhere for this tortured soul. You'd think that man who had broken the restraints that the community put upon him would be excited to see Jesus and hopeful that he could help him. Instead, he says, "Please don't put any more pain on me." Now, this is either the spirit that's tormenting him saying that, or it's the man being tormented saying that. We're not certain. But whatever it is, he's had more than he can possibly take and cannot take anymore. Have you ever felt that way? It seems like one more bill comes when you feel that way. A light pops up on the dash of the vehicle that you have to Google when you feel that way. An email comes from a person that you don't necessarily want to hear from. One more time when you don't want to feel that way. Or a doctor says, "Can we run some more tests?" when you've got nothing left to hear about that. I think whether it's the demon possessing this man or the man himself completely broken, Jesus's presence is a distressing moment, not a joyful moment. Do not torment me. For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a hillside, and a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." This story is one of one. You do not hear stories this wild very often. If you've ever talked to someone on multiple occasions and they were different people on those different occasions, and you're thinking, which person am I dealing with here? It might be mentally that it's challenging. It might be emotionally that it's challenging. They may have personality conflicts. They may have mental conflicts. They may have health conflicts. But in this case, when the medical and the psychological and all that stuff, all the things that we talk about now are not present, you're talking about demons occupying this man's every thought, word, and being. When they see Jesus and understand that they will be expelled, they start making requests on how they'll be expelled. So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, stampeded down the steep bank and into the sea, where they were drowned in the sea. Do we ever read this in vacation Bible school? Unlikely. Why? Because it would lead to so many questions and concerns and wanting to know more and more, when sometimes the story simply happened and it's so beyond our understanding, there may or may not be answers. But if you imagine a criminal who is clearly guilty saying to the court, the jury, the prosecutor, the judge, "If I could pick where I could go for the punishment that you're going to give me, that would be fantastic." These beings that have tormented this man beg for the opportunity to have a new host. Why is that? Because previously stable tormentors in this poor man are now unstable. If you've worked out some sort of stability and it gets completely wrecked, you've got to somehow find it again. It's remarkable the trip that I take from the QT on Pleasantburg down Fort Shoals Road to Dead End on the left turn where I turn to Pisgah. I do that rather than going 85 for 100 reasons, but one of them is the beauty of it. That beauty is changing as more and more developments are built. I think that's actually one of the first things that Tom ever said to me. Work that he was doing everything possible to maintain the lifestyle of the place that you've chosen to live. Any animals, birds, all those places, all those beings that have created a space that a bulldozer is now coming are now deeply unsettled. Every element of this text is about being unsettled. And there's something important to read into that because there's so much of that in Mark. Jesus shows up on this place. We're unsettled first because normally these two people, they don't talk. The beings possessing this man are unsettled by Jesus walking up. The people in the community are unsettled because now we're riling up this guy that we kind of keep on the edges. The beings are truly unsettled in this man as they are trying to determine where they can go. As Jesus frees them and places them in a herd of pigs, those pigs are unsettled to the point that they run down and jump in the water. There's not a single comforting thing about this text to this point. And I don't know if you know people that give you a deep explanation and a path forward on any sort of distressing news, and then people that just kind of give you the distressing news. Mark just goes on and gives it to you. The beings jump in the swine, and the swine run down to the river. So what does it cost the man when Jesus walks up? Now I know I'm going to have to do something about this. What does it cost the beings? They've got to leave the man. What does it cost the pigs? They've got to run into the water. Now we're about to figure out someone else that's calculating costs. The swineherds ran off and told the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man possessed by demons sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. They see a man that they were deeply accustomed to being up in the hills and yelling and howling in the cemetery, now sitting quietly, dressed as they are, and they are not comforted by that. They are unsettled. The swineherders are unsettled. We just lost our livelihood. Those who had seen what had happened to the man possessed by demons and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. How long do you think it was from landing on shore to begging him to leave? I mean, it could have been a very short period of time. It could have been an afternoon. It doesn't say the following morning in the text. But if you think, like, how did we get here again? Any kind of good example of that or bad example of that, you start to look at each other and you go, how did this happen? How did we get to this point? All of it started with Jesus walking on the shore. Previously neutral people begged Jesus to leave when it affected their livelihood. I am counting on these animals for income and food, and it's gone. So we read this odd text in this season to understand that it's not always comforting like a blanket and a warm meal. At times, the text and the request that Jesus gives us are deeply unsettling to our normal, everyday lives. So a community on the other side was included. The man was liberated from torment. Relationships could potentially be restored between the man and the community, but there was a steep, steep cost. Do you think he'll be known more, and we're speculating here, do you think he'll be known more in that community for having been up in the hills and yelling and now being restored, or be known more for the guy that in order for him to be restored, we lost all our pigs? Jesus went to those people on the edges and pulled them back in. People who are on the edges of being healed. People who are on the edges of the community getting water when no one else would. People like this who were on the edges because they were possessed. What are we willing to do when it costs us something in order for another person to be accepted and included? What are we willing to do when it costs us nothing for the community to be included? Because both those things happen. What are we willing to do when we are unsettled? The Lenten prayer that I want us to consider this week is, may I be willing to pay the cost that it takes, whatever that cost may be, for either myself or another person to draw closer to our God. That strange, sometimes confusing, little used story tells us there is a cost, but Jesus can restore us in every way possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you turn with me in your bulletin to the modern affirmation, we can read that together if you like. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the ground of our hope and the promise of God fulfilled. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, a source of strength and comfort in times of joy or grief. We believe our faith should be displayed by our actions and our words, so the kingdom of God may be a present reality here on earth.